Welcome back to Art Supply Insiders. My name is Jeff Morrow, and today we're talking with Angela Anderson, an incredible artist, video creator, and teacher. Angela, how are you today?
Great. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you for coming on and being with everybody out there. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and what you do and how people can find you?
Well, I am an artist and teacher from Arkansas, and I teach on YouTube primarily. I've been doing it for about 10 years now, and we teach live. So I do, you know, it kind of depends on what I'm painting, but it can be anywhere from an hour to 3 hours, you know, depending on the project. And we're very interactive with our audience. My husband helps me, and he kind of takes questions, and we chat with them during the show. So we're really connected with our audience, and we love that aspect of teaching.
How did you get started? I mean, were you just a natural born artist, or did you have to learn?
I had to learn. I did it in college, and I was actually dropped out of painting class in college because I found it very frustrating because I wanted to paint like Bob Ross, and using acrylics was very, you know, you couldn't do the same techniques that he was doing with acrylics. And I wanted to learn techniques. And so I think that my love of teaching and my desire to teach kind of came from that, because I want people to be able to understand how to use acrylics and be able to manipulate them and do whatever they want with them. But I know it was very frustrating for me to learn it. And so I kind of think that that's kind of where my love of teaching comes from. But yeah.
So kind of you, like most of our audience out there, doesn't have a lot of background or formal training in painting. It kind of sounds like you came up through the ranks, so to speak, like the rest of our audience out there.
Very much self-taught. I learned from books. I was learning in the 90s, so this was before internet days. And so I was using books and learned toll painting, you know, way back when that was popular. And I worked on wood for about like the first 10 years or so of painting. And then I took a couple of years off in between. I had some kids and I was a young mom and, you know, just trying to kind of wrangle all of that and working from home, you know, doing these kind of craft fairs and things on the weekends. And I've pretty much done everything. So it's kind of been a really windy road to get to YouTube teaching, but I've taught on and off and done gallery shows and, you know, all kinds of different things. But I love teaching. I've kind of come back to it every time because it's my first love. And it's kind of where I belong. And YouTube has made it really awesome because I can kind of connect with people too, because I like to, you know, it can be a lonely thing, painting and being an artist, being by yourself all the time. So I love the interactive aspect of getting to talk to people from all over the world. It's really amazing.
So how do people find you? I assume you have a website and you're on YouTube. Where do they go to find you on those places?
Thankfulart.com is my website. And then they can go to YouTube and just Google Angela Anderson and I'll pop up. I'm usually the first one up there, thankfully. And
how many videos do you have on YouTube? Do you know?
Oh yeah. I have over 550, I think now.
So oh my goodness. You must've been painting since you were like four.
Well, it's been the last 10 years, about 2 a week for the last 5 years or so, 5 or 6 years. So it adds up pretty quick. Yeah.
Wow. That's very impressive. So you recently did a poll on your Facebook group about the kind of art supplies that students would like more information about. What kind of information did you find?
Well, it was kind of surprising because the number one by far was brushes. Like, I feel like I talk about brushes in every single video. So I always feel like I've, you know, do people really want to hear this again? But yeah, brushes. And then, the second and third were canvases and paints, and those were almost tied, but they were half as popular as brushes. Like brushes was the number one thing that people wanted to hear about. So, I always like to kind of connect with my audience and find out what they want to know, because, you know, I've been doing this for so long. I, you know, I'm, I don't know what they want to hear, you know? So, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Sounds like that was smart. So after you did that, what brushes do you recommend to your students?
Well, I use Princeton right now, but it's kind of taken me a while to figure out what I like. And I would just say, I have a list of my favorite brushes at thebrushguys.com. Mm-hmm. They have kind of been really great to work with. You guys used to own them. Right. So I started out working with you guys yeah. on that. But that's been really nice to have kind of a place to just be able to send people and say, okay, here's the ones that I like to use. And I do list the brushes that I use in my videos too. But I like to use brushes that are slightly firm. Acrylics, it's really a must to have synthetic brushes. And I didn't know that when I first started. I thought, you know, buy the best, most expensive brush and that'll be the best one to use. And I ended up with like a Sable watercolor brush that cost me a lot of money and I could not use with acrylics. So I think, you know, kind of doing a little bit of investigating on, you know, the brand that you're buying and if it's appropriate for, you know, what you're trying to do is important for sure. Cause these are expensive tools and I don't like my students to, waste their money, you know, like I have.
So tell me, so you mentioned you like a stiffer synthetic brush as opposed to a much more expensive Sable brush. What is it about the more expensive Sable brush that didn't work well for acrylic?
They are too soft. They hold too much water and they're just too floppy. They don't, acrylics are kind of caustic. They're basically like, think you're painting with plastic. And so they're very kind of almost gummy and they have certain properties that don't work well with soft brushes. It's just, you know, and especially natural fiber brushes like a Sable, it'll eat that brush right up. And it was just super floppy. Like I could not even, you know, get a straight line with it. Of course, if I use watercolor, which is super thin and basically just, you know, water with a little tint in it, it would paint for days just fine, but using it with acrylics is not appropriate, you know, won't work at all.
So you said that you use Princeton brushes, I believe you said, and yeah. Are there any specific series or name of the Princeton brushes that you use?
Yeah, I like their Velvet Touch line. Those are kind of really great for details. They hold a really nice edge. I like detail work myself. So it kind of depends on the kind of the style of painting that you're doing. If you want to do kind of a softer edge, you won't need to worry about the kind of brush quite as much. But if you want detail and you want really hard and crisp lines, then you're going to need a brush that will hold an edge. And Velvet Touch is great. Their 6100 series is really good. Their Summit series, I really like them. Their newer line, Aspen, is one that I'm just kind of starting to use for my more impressionist paintings because it's kind of like a hog bristle brush, but it still holds a good line. And the thing with hog bristle is that it's a natural fiber, and so it gets a little soggy if it gets wet. And these being kind of a faux hog bristle, they're a synthetic, they don't have that problem. And so I find them really easy to work with. And so that you get nice texture with those brushes, like, you know, especially if you're using a more thick application of paint, they're great. So if you're just starting out, they have their Select line of brushes. Mm-hmm. That are great for beginners, and I would highly recommend them. Usually beginner brushes I don't recommend to my students. I always say buy the best brush that you can afford because you'll get a better painting experience using a better brush. It's kind of an extension of your arm. It's the first thing that touches the canvas, and if you can't control that brush and if it's doing all kinds of weird things and it's losing hairs or it's flopping around, you're going to have much harder time. You're just learning. You're trying to, you know, get your idea onto the canvas. And if your brush is not cooperating, it makes it so much more difficult. So buying a great brush, spending, invest your money there. That would be the number one thing that I would invest my money in, and then get good paints. And then you can paint on just about any surface as long as you have some gesso and, you know, gesso the heck out of it. If you're not worried about archival quality, you can paint on a cereal box, you know, just whatever. But having good paint and good, good brushes is number one in my book.
Let me ask you, how do our audience know when you shouldn't use a brush anymore? I mean, would you stop using it? How do you know?
Well, for me, it's when I start seeing stray hair sticking out, and that is usually indicative of either it's starting to wear out or I've not cleaned out all the paint. And so that would be another thing that I would say, you know, get a good brush and take care of it. Always, 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 even if you think it's clean, always use soap and clean it out with soap. Like a mild dish detergent or something like that, or they have, you know, special soap products for brushes, but always clean them with soap after every single use, and lay them flat to dry. Don't lay them upright. That kind of thing. I listened to your instructions, your podcast about washing brushes, and that was great. So yeah, listen to that one. But they'll start to fray. They'll start to sometimes, even if they don't have stray hairs, what the tip will start to bend over, mm-hmm. or, you know, won't hold like a good point. And that's when I kind of know, okay, you know, and you can tell when you start using it too, when you're painting with it. If you're doing a line and you've got, you know, things happening that you're not intending to happen, that's kind of when I start, you know, looking for another one to replace it with. But I never throw away my brushes because sometimes I'll pull them out. Those kind of brushes are really useful if you're, you know, wanting. Well, one thing, I let my grandson use them. So one, just having brushes that you don't care about, you know, for the kiddos to use is great. But also, you know, sometimes you want that extra texture and you know, especially for foliage and things like that, you know. Yeah.
Is there a specific soap or dish soap that you recommend or use when cleaning your brushes?
Not really. I think I use Dawn, but that's just kind of what I happen to have. There's pink soap that I use also sometimes. And then there's Master something. There's a little cake that I sometimes use too. That one I used to use when I would be painting on location, because if I didn't get the chance to really, I didn't want to spend a half an hour washing brushes on location. So I would cake up the brush into the that little soap cake and get the soap down into the silver barrel of the brush.
Right.
And then I could take those home. It kind of protected and kept them moist until I could get them home and could wash them out really well at home.
Okay. So you said when you did the recent poll that the number two thing was canvas. What do they want to know about canvas?
It was canvas and support, whatever, you know. So really, canvas could be paper. It could be, you know, it could mean anything that you're painting on, basically.
I see.
Wood. I used to paint on wood a lot. So wood's a little bit more expensive than it used to be. But it's still, you know, you can find, I'd go to thrift stores and find old canvases, old prints and things and paint over them. Right now I'm working with Frederick's Canvas, and they're wonderful to work with. And so they provide me with all the awesome professional canvases that I need, which is, I'm super spoiled because, I know that can be a really expensive part of the process is canvases. And especially if you're wanting to do a lot of practicing, I'd say get yourself like a Strathmore notebook. They have mixed media notebooks that I think they're called the visual journal notebooks that are mixed media paper. Make sure you get the right paper. You can't just paint on any kind of paper with acrylics, but those are great for practicing. And they're not that expensive. You know, when you're talking about a canvas can be $30, $40, you know, for a big one. So, or more, you know, so yeah, I would do that. I'd also would paint with my students with canvas panels, because those are really inexpensive and easy to get. and also easy to store because they're kind of flat and they, you know, don't take up a lot of room. So those are great to practice. If you're just starting out, those would be the kind of things I would get, like a notebook and some of the canvas panels, and just kind of do your first few paintings on those kind of things, and then graduate up into the nicer canvases once you're, you know, feel a little bit more confident and want to splurge and, you know, maybe give it as a gift or something like that. That's when I would buy it for a get a better canvas.
So the third one was paints. What brand of paints do you currently use?
I use Golden acrylics, which are the heavy body acrylics. Sometimes I'll use the fluid acrylics if I'm needing to do like a finer line work, like trees and things, branches and stuff. You need the kind of finer or thinner paint. So their fluid acrylics are great. They're kind of similar. Their fluid acrylics are kind of similar to craft paints. Craft paints is what I started with. They're great because you don't have to mix your colors. You got like, you know, 1,000 colors to choose from, but they don't mix well with each other. So that's one thing. If you are wanting to learn to mix colors, I wouldn't go with craft paints because they can kind of get muddy if you try to mix them. And also they're not really like fast archival quality. They don't have a lot of pigment in them. So they're great for some things, but I wouldn't, like if you're doing canvas work, I probably wouldn't use craft acrylics. I would go with something like a Liquitex Basics or Arteza's got really good student quality. Pretty much a lot of these brands have like a student quality paint that you can start with. But I find that Liquitex Basics is a great one because they use the same pigments as their professional quality paints. So they're light fast. They just don't have as much of the really high quality pigments. So those are great for my beginner. And they come in sets that are really affordable. And then when you run out of the small bottles, you can, you know, move up to the professional quality one in that color or whatever if you want, you know, if you want to.
So where can our audience go if they want to see a list of colors that you use?
Well, I have a list on my website. I have a FAQ, a frequently asked questions page on my website, thankfulart.com. And that is probably where I would say it's got a lot of information. It's got all, you know, the places to buy paints and kind of what I use and all the colors that I generally use. I use a split primary palette. So I have a warm and a cool shade of each color. And that I find that easier to mix basically the full rainbow of colors. So I'll have like a ultramarine blue and a phthalo blue that's kind of more green and leaning. And the ultramarine blue is more purple leaning and, you know, quinacridone magenta and a cadmium red light or something like that. And then like with yellows, maybe cadmium yellow light and an Indian yellow hue that's more orange. And that kind of a primary palette can get you just about any other color that you want to mix as long as you have kind of both the cool and the warm of each of those primary colors.
So after you're done painting, how long does it take for acrylic to dry? And should you put any varnish or anything over top of that painting? And how long should people wait before they do that?
I usually wait at least 24 hours. If it's a thicker application of paint, you probably need to wait about up to a week because acrylics will dry almost immediately. You know, they look dry, they feel dry, but they're not fully cured for a good 24 hours. And then after that, you can varnish them. I use the Golden isolation coat and then like a good UV varnish over the top of that. I know a lot of artists that use like spray varnishes, like Krylon's got a good Kamar varnish, I think. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but anyhow, there's all kinds of really good products out there, but you definitely do want to protect your acrylics because they're plastic and they're kind of sticky even when they're dry. And things will stick to them. Like I've had two acrylic paintings stick to one another and pull pieces. Yeah. I mean, I've laid them side, but you know, they're completely flat and dry. They'll pull paint off of each other if you do that. So, I've learned that a lot of things the hard way.
So tell me, this is a question I'm sure a lot of people have that watch YouTube artists like yourself. When you're all done with your paintings, you've got some 500 paintings.
Right.
Are all 500 paintings in your home? Do you sell them? Do you donate them? What happens with all those paintings?
Yeah. I have an entire separate room of our house that has got all of my paintings in it now. Like, we had to buy these two huge storage units a couple of years ago because my studio was like overrun with paintings and every shelf. And so they're still not very well organized. They're kind of organized by size of the canvas. And I use glassine paper. So that's one thing that you can get if you are storing your paintings for, you know, any length of time. The glassine paper, which you can just get on Amazon, it will protect your paintings from sticking to one another, you know, so you can put them face to face if you need to, with that in between. But yeah, I do sell some of them on Etsy. So about twice a year, I'll do a big sale on Etsy. I have paintings there all the time, but most of them are kind of, you know, ones that are just older. They're left over from the previous sale or whatever. But then usually we put in a really big fresh batch of like 100 or 200 new paintings a couple times a year, do a big sale, and then we'll sell a bunch. And then I like to do it in batches because I don't like to have to do it all year. I've got so many other projects going on. I don't like to have to ship things. That's right. My like least favorite part of the process. Yeah. So I do have some for sale, but not the newer paintings. Usually those kind of come up once or twice a year.
How do they find out when these paintings come up for sale on Etsy?
I have a newsletter on my website. So that's probably the easiest way. We send out a newsletter once a week on Fridays, and definitely not spammy, I promise. And that's when I will. And I also like on my Instagram and my Facebook, and if you follow me on any of my social media, I'll also be announcing it and have posts about it there, usually like the week or two prior. And I'll talk about it on my YouTube channel too, you know, but my newsletter is probably the best way to kind of keep up with what we're doing.
And the way to sign up for your newsletter is to go to your website?
Yes. Yes. And there's a, thankfulart.com, and there's a little newsletter section, or you can go to free stuff too. And you get like a free video link to one of my bonus videos, because I have a Patreon page where I do more advanced paintings for people who want that. So, you know, we have a lot of free stuff on YouTube, but I have another, you know, 100 or 200 advanced paintings just for patrons. And those paintings are like 5 to 10 hours long, usually.
Did you say 5 to 10 hours long?
Yeah. Now the 10-hour ones are broken up into like 2-hour segments. So I'll do those like once a week. Those are the challenge level paintings where, you know, I take a particularly challenging project and we work on it until it's done all month long. And and then the bonus videos that I do are usually 4 to 5 hours long. And those are one sitting. Those are tough, but we take a break halfway through. So there's a little bit of a break in it.
Well, I can tell our audience out there that should they go and watch Angela on YouTube or on Patreon or even go to her website, it is time very, very well spent. She has a very large following worldwide out there. And Angela, I can't thank you enough for being a part of this podcast and joining us and giving us information that they are all going to be able to use.
Thank you so much. I'm really pleased to be invited. It's been amazing, and I've always enjoyed working with you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. And from my partner, Dave, he thanks you too. You've been listening to Art Supply Insiders. Check back with us often as we talk about the world of art and craft supplies. If you like these podcasts and want to show your support, please do consider joining our Patreon campaign at www.patreon.com/artsupplyinsiders. Now go out and create something.